morning sermon comes out of a conversation that I had with my wife. We're still on speaking terms. But she raised a comment that she heard. I don't know where she heard it, but it started me thinking, and from those thoughts came this morning's message. I've entitled it, Minus People and Plus People. Minus People and Plus People. This saying comes from an English essayist who divided the human race into two groups of people. Two classes, one, minus people. Those would be people who leave you poor after you've met them. And then the other class, plus people, they leave you richer after you have met them. In other words, minus people leave you worse off, and plus people leave you better off. I've often heard people say, I'm still trying to find out who I am. That always puzzled me. I'm Billy Brunson, and I don't have any problem of knowing who I am. That never made a lot of sense to me. They went around and said, well, I'm trying to find myself, like they've lost their self, you know. And I say, well, I live at 439 Parkwood. I don't have to try to find myself. Here I am, you know. And I never really understood what they were talking about. But maybe the question really they were asking was, why am I here? I'm existing, but why? What's my purpose in life? Why was I born? What's the meaning of my life? I get up, I go to work, I come home, I go to bed. I get up, I go to work, I come home, I go to bed. What's the meaning of my life? Why should I keep on going? And the suicide rate goes up, and undoubtedly a lot of folks can't find any answers to the meaning of life. A lot of people, maybe the majority of people, just assume from the very beginning that they're an accident anyway. And their only purpose is to get all they can before they die, to have as much pleasure, physically speaking, as they can before they die, and to get their way as much as they can before they die. Most people undoubtedly see themselves as an empty bucket needing to be filled. And there are a few people who see themselves as a full bucket needing to be emptied. There are minus people and there are plus people. Plus people have a full bucket and this overflow will leave you better. Minus people have an empty bucket and their only concern is what you can do to fill their empty bucket. They're minus people. And they'll leave you worse off if you meet them. Now, the man with an empty bucket says, I don't have anything to give. In other words, I'm too timid. I can't really help anybody. I can't bless anybody. Or I'm too uneducated, or I'm too busy, or I'm too hard, or I'm too poor. We have all kinds of excuses why we're a minus person. But you know, there's one thing minus people have just as much as plus people have. There's one thing everybody has a bucket full of, overflowing, from which people can drink. You say, what's that? That's called influence. Influence. Look at Proverbs 13:20 if you have a Bible. Proverbs 13:20. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. What's he implying? Those that you get around and those that are around you are going to be subjected to some kind of influence. If I walk around a person who is a plus, if I walk around a person who seemingly is wise, then that should rub off on me. Then I should gain some wisdom and there should be some plus added to my life. On the other hand, the scripture says, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's a man who has nothing but minus to give you. But he also has an influence. You see, both can be an influence. So the warning is, be careful who you walk with. Be careful of the matter of influence. You not only influence, but you can be influenced. I'll guarantee you this morning, whatever you are, you are because you have been influenced to be that person. If you want to be honest, I guess we could blame somebody or a lot of somebodies or a lot of buckets for what we are. All the way from the invisible side, everything all together, and you are the composite of somebody's influencing your life. You may not want to admit that, but that's the honest truth. You take a little baby and you isolate him in an alley with nobody around him where there's no influence possible. I don't know how he grow up with no influence at all if he has some magic way of being fed. But as soon as you put around that child all kinds of people, all kinds of knowledge, all kinds of activities, that child begins to be influenced by all of that input. And out of all that variety of input, that child will adopt somebody else's ideas, else's conduct, else's philosophy, somebody else's wisdom, and that child will be the product of the influence of somebody or many somebodies in that collective group you have exposed him to. Now, everybody you meet is going to rub off on you. You and I have met literally in our lifetime thousands and thousands of people, none of which really have in any way been an influence in our life. This is what Mary Lou said to me the other day that stirred this sermon into creation. She said she heard or read that the average person, if you don't consider yourself average, then you're going to have to go below this. But I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and just say all of us this morning are at least average. Some of us may be superior. But if you're just average, see, give yourself at least one plus this morning. If you're an average person, you will influence no more than 10 to 12 people in your lifetime. Now, I don't know where they get that statistic from. I have no way to verify it whatsoever. Assuming it is true, maybe you have only influenced 2 people so far in your lifetime. Maybe you feel like, well, boy, I haven't influenced anybody. You can never be sure. You just never be sure. And maybe you will influence more than 10. I said the average. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. Have you ever heard the expression peer pressure? That's just a newfangled way of saying influenced. That's all. Peer pressure is what I think most parents fear about their children in school worse than they do the plague. And it's one of the reasons today you have more and more private, independent Christian schools springing up all across this country. And you're going to see more and more and more of them. The chief reason being, peer pressure can totally wipe out everything you teach your kid at home. Peer pressure can undermine everything you teach. If the pressure comes from children, the age of your children that they associate with in school. And the sad fact is today, peer pressure does operate, and our society is being filled, in my opinion, with more and more minus people. It's hard to find somebody anymore to walk with that'll leave you better instead of worse when you leave them. That will leave you holy instead of corrupted when you leave them. Today it seems like everybody wants to corrupt somebody. And that's what makes it so difficult today as a Christian, raising children. There are far more people today in the business of influencing you on the minor side than there was when I was young and a child growing up in school. And I believe it's going to get worse. But if you have 10 times as much minus influence, you're going to have 10 times more people being influenced in the wrong way. And so that kind of influence makes society weaker. It makes all of us poorer, however you want to look at it. Let me just throw some questions out at you. When you were in school, did anybody influence you to start smoking? Did anybody influence you to start drinking? Did anybody influence you to start taking dope? Or you say, hey, all of a sudden out of the blue, hey, I think I'm going to do that. No, you were influenced if you didn't. How many have you influenced that way? You see, they would have never maybe done it had you not influenced them, even before you got saved. Somebody ever influenced you to steal your first candy bar, to shoplift something for the first time? Did they ever dare you? How many started out that way? Somebody made fun of you, and you couldn't take the pressure. Who influenced you if you've been influenced that way? Who influenced you to say your first curse word? Who influenced you to commit that first act of adultery, if it's ever been done? Who was the influence? What boy, what girl talked somebody else into it? Who was the influence? Sometimes we may run across somebody we haven't seen in years. We hardly recognize them. We've gained 30 pounds and they're still slim, you know. And we say, and we finally realize that they were a person we knew many years ago. And we began to talk to them and we find out they've changed. And we notice the change because we knew what they used to be. And we say, how come you changed? And I'll guarantee you the answer they give you will always be the same. Somewhere, at some time, at some point, somebody influenced their life to make them change. You won't change unless somebody influences that change. It has to happen by somebody. And you may think you've changed yourself, but somewhere that change has been instigated, motivated, cultivated by somebody. They had to plant the thought in your mind, either in a book or a show or by word. For example, somehow, if you change, it'll be because somebody influenced you. Some author in some book that you read. Somebody you heard on radio. Some talk show you may have seen. Some suggestion some stranger made to you someday while just casually meeting you in a park or somewhere else on the street. And you just happen to be there. Or some viewpoint somebody holds that you work with. Or some TV personality has said or done that you admire. Or some suggestion that has been made somewhere by somebody. That's what did it. And that was the influence. And they may never know it. But somehow and somewhere that influenced your thinking and caused a change in your life. Now some people say, well, I'm a self-made man. I say there's no such thing. You're the composite of a lot of folks' suggestions or demands or pressures, however you want to put it. We're just the accumulation of their ideas. That's all we are. We're the byproduct of their making. Every day you and I just sort through other folks' ideas. Do you ever have an original idea? Maybe as a creator, you might create something to manufacture. But basically, we only have the ideas that we can thumb through somebody else's. See. People say, well, you can quote me. Usually what you do is you quote somebody else when you quote them. Who has quoted somebody else? Who has quoted somebody else? Well, down the line, and the quotes go. I don't know where to start. We can thumb our way through all the lifestyles today, and then, you know, folks, we're going to pick out one of them. Or a combination of lifestyles. I mean, you may go through some movie star's life files and say, oh, there's a nice lifestyle. I think I'll do that. And I think I'll do this. And I think I'll do that. And you put them all together, and that's you. Yeah. I guess you could say we're copycats. But when I say that, what I'm saying is, folks, you have influence. And you are influenced. It goes both directions. Today, a handful of people influence the way you women dress. Now, be honest with me. A handful of people today decide what music you're going to hear. A handful. A handful of people decide what shows are going to be on television and what morals they're going to teach. A handful of people that run NBC, CBS, and ABC. A handful are going to influence a nation of millions. Just a handful. I've watched society go downhill as I watched movies go downhill and TV go downhill. You know what's happening? Television is influencing society. And the people who are running the little networks say, we are building this society to suit our own selves. They'll tell you that. In Senate hearings, they have admitted, we're going to control and manage this nation to go in the direction we want it to go. Man, there are things permissible and acceptable today in America that was forbidden 30 years ago when I watched and read to, I don't think television, but I listen to the radio. What's happened? Where has people haven't changed? It's influence. Influence. A handful of people will develop the morals that you and I adopt. I want to run some names by you to give you an idea. And mine won't be one of them. Hugh Hefner. He has influenced probably millions of people in the world to be immoral. Really. One man has done this through a printing press. Has influenced millions of people. Attribute some of the divorce rate to him. Much of the immorality, incest, and everything else that goes along with homosexuality, you can attribute to this man. And he's still influencing people by the thousands. Charles Darwin. He has influenced millions of people to advocate evolution, which is opposed, if you don't know, to creationism. That God didn't create the world, it all just evolved. One man has influenced the thinking of millions of schoolboys. One man. He's ruled God out of creation. One man. Adolf Hitler. Heard of him? To me, he influenced the nations to aim for what you and I are going to have to face, and it's coming quicker than you think, for a super race. A super race. Adolf Hitler advocated that if any person in society is unfit, unhealthy, defected, afflicted, not real swift mentally, kill them. The only way you can have a super race is for all the good to be preserved and all the inferior to be eliminated. We're slowly facing a society of people in which we're going to be asking, at what point do you kill the old people when they get too feeble or too old that you don't want anymore? At what point do you, we've already gotten rid of the babies now, that's called abortion. We've done taken the care of those. Now how about the babies that are born that have some afflictions? They're next. What's going to be next? And what's going to be next? And what's going to be next? And where are they going to stop? You see, where are they going to stop? It's working on both ends, the old folks on one end, the babies on the other. And you're starting to create ideas, let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of them. Anything that's a hindrance on society, let's kill it. That's going to influence a lot of people's thinking. It's already being talked about a lot, you see. Many trials are coming up now about people in the hospitals. It's not the point of those, it's where will it ever stop? Karl Marx, you ever heard of him? Sure you have. He's influenced millions of people to adopt the philosophy of communism, atheism. People live and die for that philosophy. Now, I don't know whether any of these four men have any influence over you or not. Of course, I hope not. I thought about this matter when I talked to Mary Lou. I stopped and asked the question, who has influenced me? I never asked that question. And that's a hard one to answer because there's so many people that can influence your life. Who has influenced me that I know about? Now, when I use the word influence, I mean that you totally turn that person in another direction. That's what I mean by influence. I was going this way, and when that person met me, I started going that way. And I meet another influence, and that person sends me that way. In other words, it totally alters something about my life. I totally stop doing something and start doing something else as a result of that person's influence. Now, that's the kind of influence I think we're talking about when it says you may only influence 10 people in your lifetime. That you totally cause dramatic change in a person's life. And I ask, who in my life has had that kind of impact? Well, I'm told, and I guess I will have to accept this, that the first great influence in your life would be your mother and your father. I've often said, and I don't know whether this is true or not, that when you get ready to get married and you want to know what your future wife or husband will be like, just go stay around mother-in-law and father-in-law about a month. Now, that's not always true. I know that. But normally speaking, you will just follow in the same footsteps of your parents, and you will be just like them when you grow up. What kind of father or what kind of mother will you make? Well, you can find out by looking at your mother and your father, and that'll tell you what you'll be like. Now, that's not always true. But it is true in a great majority of cases, which implies these people have had a dramatic influence over your life. So much that you're going to be the spitting image of them if something doesn't change your direction. And I know some are saying, well, boy, I'm not like my mama. Well, that's all right. But most people do have much of their parents still in them. their mannerisms, their beliefs, their concepts. Things change. Somebody can influence a child over the parents, and that's what fears parents. That's the problem with peer pressure. It can happen. It does happen. But it depends on how strong an influence mother and daddy has had. I think families today are not as close-knit as they used to be. The parents don't spend as much time with the children as they used to be. I mean, mother used to spend all day with her child. That's where the influence comes in today. You don't know who raises a child because the child is placed in a kindergarten or a nursery and the mother goes to work. And so you don't have the mother's influence as much anymore as you used to. And the father comes home and he's busy, and so the children aren't placed with the parents like in my day when I was raised up. I was around my parents more than I was around anybody else. And so that did make a difference, and it still makes a difference how much association you have with a person, how much influence you're going to have. And so I would have to say my parents have influence in my life. I'm an only child. That doesn't say anything, but it just means that I guess there was more time devoted to me than you would ever have five kids. And so undoubtedly much of my parents rubbed off on me. I can't put my thumb on any one single thing, but I know they must have influenced me. Then I thought about all my school teachers. Boy, I had a lot of them. And a lot of them. Went to school 20 straight years. And I can't honestly think of one school teacher that ever dramatically influenced my life or turned me around in any direction. I can't think of one. Nothing against school teachers, but that's not a source of influence in my life. The garden of children I played with in my neighborhood, they were all boys. We didn't have any girls in my neighborhood. I don't know what happened there, but they were all boys. And I also cannot think of any influence that I really had from all of my peer group boys in my neighborhood that totally and thoroughly influenced my life. There are a lot of things they did I just wouldn't ever do. I don't know why. Maybe it's the way my parents raised me. They'd said things and used words that I didn't put in my vocabulary. They didn't influence me. So I don't think really any children that I played with had a direct influence in my life. I don't know what did influence me as I thought about this. There were no heroes to me that I copied when I was growing up. In my day, you know, it was Gene Autry and Roy Rogers. That was on movies, you know. There's not much influence there, I guess. Well, I wasn't going to be a cowboy. There wasn't a whole lot of influence. And the funny books that I call them funny books, now they call them comics, you know, that was Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse. There's not much influence you can get out. They didn't have Rambo and shoot them up and all that killing stuff when I bought comic books. So I didn't get that kind of influence. I didn't have all kind of sex magazines. You know, that was unheard of. So I didn't get that kind of influence when I grew up. So my mind wasn't corrupted. My character wasn't corrupted by the movies or the funny books or anything else. The music. I mean, can she bake a cherry pie? Billy Boy, Billy Boy. You know, what kind of evil influence can you get from that? They didn't sing about demonic things. They didn't sing about immorality and dope. You know, so I wasn't influenced by the songs of my day. She'd be coming around the mountain when she comes, when she comes. You know, that kind of stuff's not going to get you in trouble spiritually. Because I'm aging myself. I don't understand that. But I'm asking myself, what influenced me to be what I am today? When I entered college, I was, again, of course, a little older now, and I was associated with a lot of students that I'd never known. But again, they never influenced me, to my knowledge, to be a different person. I was the same Billy when I went to college as I was when I graduated, as far as the students concerned. I didn't change. People say, well, you haven't changed much, Billy, since I met you a long time ago. Got a little fatter, but that was the only change they saw in me. Well, there was one person that I never met personally. He came into town of Houston, and I went and heard him, and he had a change, or he influenced my life. Still, I never met him. That's the thing about preachers. They can say something that will influence your life. There was two preachers in my life that influenced me. They say about preachers, they won't walk across the street to hear a sermon, but they'll travel across the ocean to preach one. That's a lot of truth in that. Preachers are hard to preach to. But there are two people that have really made an impact in my life in the area of preaching. First one was Billy Graham. It was through him that I found Christ to be my Lord and Savior. The other was a man that maybe you've heard of, Lester Roloff. I knew Lester Roloff. He used to live down the street from me. And we used to go to his church Sunday night. But those two men had an influence in my life. Now, Billy Graham only once when he introduced me to Christ, but Lester Roloff has been a guiding influence in my life. He never knew it, but he has had an influence over me. He's one of the few people that when he preaches, he can get me under conviction quick. Well, you know, we sing a song about Christ. He walks with me and he talks with me. He tells me I'm his own. But I have a question to ask in that song. He walks with me and he talks with me, but does he influence me? And what I'm going to say henceforth to the end of the sermon is a testimony to an invisible man I have yet to meet eye to eye and person to person. And that man is, by faith, Jesus Christ. I can't show him to you. I can only tell you that somehow, in some way, this person has had more influence in my life than anybody I have ever met. And my wife has influenced me and my family and my children, but nobody has influenced this person like that person I've never seen, Jesus Christ. To me, at times, he has an unreal influence over me, constraining influence over me, an invisible hand that holds me back, influence over me. Look at 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove to your own selves that, I'm going to sort of change the verse up, prove to your own selves that Jesus Christ lives in you. Now, how can I prove that Jesus Christ lives in me? You know, I'll tell you how. Does he have any influence over you? Has he turned your life around? Is he still turning your life around? In 1 John 2:6, one more verse real quickly. He that says that he abides in him, that is in Christ, ought to allow himself to be influenced by Christ. You say, that's not what it says, preacher. You're right. That's what it means. He that says he abides in him ought also to walk even as he walks. I won't walk as he walks unless he can influence me to walk as he walks. There's no way for me to answer some questions that I'm going to raise about myself. But I know a little bit about myself, more than I have ever told you, and more than I will ever tell you. I know there's lurking down in this old boy's sinful nature some mighty uncontrollable, ungodly, heathenistic, cruel, sadistic possibilities. Now, I don't say this about you. I just know that there's a lot of evil that lurks around in the old sinful nature of me. What would my life be today if Jesus Christ had not influenced me? Possibly, I didn't say yes, possibly, my closet would be full of Hugh Hefner's filth. Possibly. Can't rule that one out. Possibly, I would end up a drunk downtown Houston Skid Row. Possibly. Just possibly. I don't rule it out. Just possibly. I could have abused my children when they grew up. Just possibly. But it was Christ that stopped me. Just possibly. I would have been a master shoplifter. Just possibly. Just possibly. Or just possibly I would have taken things from the place that I worked and kept them. Just possibly. Just possibly, I would have been divorced several times by now. Just possibly. Can't rule it out. See, what's made a difference? A person has influenced my life. Just possibly, I could have been strung out on dope today. Just possibly. Just don't rule it out. I won't. Just possibly, you would have never gotten me inside a church house. No, no, never. Just possibly. You wouldn't interest me at all in church and religious things had Christ not gotten hold of me. Just possibly. Because I know lurking inside of me is a very selfish old person if you turn him loose. Just possibly. Just possibly I would have committed adultery in my life. Just possibly. Had it not been for a person named Jesus Christ. And that person, to my knowledge, in all honesty, has been the only person that's really constrained me and made me different than I would otherwise have been. I've taken his word, I've taken his wisdom, what he says to be right and wrong, I've accepted on blind faith, not on questioning. And I'm willing to pattern my life after what this invisible man has said in a book that many say is not true. And I can say as a compliment this day to Christ, no one has ever had the influence in my life that he has. And were it not for him, I wouldn't be fit to live with. I think I'd be dangerous. I don't know. But I do believe that Christ has made a difference in this person right here. Christ is a plus person. This morning, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, I tell you, he can change your life like nobody else can do. He changed mine. And he had, I'm not perfect, folks. You know? But I fear the old wild beast getting loose. And that's why Christ is in control. Father, we're thankful this day for the influence of the invisible hand, now the warm heart. We are thankful this day for the influence that you've had over the people in this church, either directly through your word, through their conscience, through this pulpit, through some songwriter. We're thankful this day that we are a living testimony. People can be new. People can be different. People can be changed. People can overcome. People can become a plus. We do pray this day that as we ourselves walk among people, that our influence shall represent the influence you have over us. May our suggestions be your suggestions. May our ideas be your ideas. May our example be your example. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.